Call Commerce meeting back into order. Item of business now is number seven, consideration of NCR 1801, resolution to authorize and approve execution of an international swap and derivatives association agreement by the Osage Nation and Osage Nation Game Enterprise to manage its interest rate risk on outstanding debt and to authorize limited waiver of sovereign immunity from suit and consent to jurisdiction. Sponsor is Congresswoman Whitehorn. At this time, I'll turn the meeting over to Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Thank you, Congressman Supernaw. This is a resolution that I put forward for as a waiver of sovereign immunity to give us the ability to enter into an ISDA agreement. I and Speaker Pratt were in the presentation where it was made to the board and have been in touch with the gaming executive staff since then on this issue and support the concept of being able to manage our interest rate risk. It's had much discussion previous to the special session, not discussion, email information. And then we had a very lengthy discussion yesterday. And to be quite honest with you, I don't know how to outline all of the facts why we are still back here. I just think that the level of comfort with what this resolution will do is not there with this body right now. So we decided to meet on it again today. I think Mr. Steinke has some more information he would like to share with us, if you'll let him do so, and then we can engage back in our discussion where we left off yesterday.
Okay. So you had, at the end of our conversation, you had 2 points that you had asked me about, one of which is the flow of the documents. Okay. So the first document is the credit agreement, which is already has a waiver of sovereign immunity. The next step moves over to the ISDA agreement. Okay. And then that ISDA agreement carries that same waiver. All right. And then there's a certificate there, okay? And that's the certificate. Remember I said there was a document that blinks together the hedge? Well, that hedge is a certificate, much in the way like a stock certificate. So that's the last piece that's executed, and that's what you commence going into. So it's credit agreement with a waiver, is agreement with a waiver. Then's when you kind of go shopping, okay? You go shopping and you decide, hey, what products do I want? Move through the ones we looked at yesterday on the presentation, and then you finally make a decision. At that point in time, you execute is there a certificate confirmation? That's that final piece, and that does not need another waiver of sovereign immunity at that point in time.
Okay. Yeah, that's very helpful.
I just wanted to get the exact terminology for yesterday. I knew there was further documentation, but I didn't know what it was specifically called.
Right.
Off the top of my head. The other piece is, and this kind of goes to Mr. Supernall's questions yesterday about risk and also about, he was using the phrase mark to market, which is really an accounting term. So we're dealing with a commodity, okay, just like a bond or any other security, all right? So there's two things that can happen once you enter into a swap. The rates can go up, the rates can go down, which we all talked about yesterday extensively. We are trying to mitigate the risk of the rate going too high, okay? So if I'm going back to yesterday's numbers, LIBOR at 1.55. If we enter into a swap, hypothetically speaking, at 2.30, and the rate goes to 4, like I used an example yesterday, then ideally we're in a great spot. That's where we want to be. We've hedged against that rate going to 4, okay? Now, if we get to the point where we say, all right, what we put into the swap was too much, which that's what you and I talked about extensively yesterday, that's what we're not going to do. That's why you got to make these decisions up front. But if you put too much into a swap, and the rate goes up, then because it's a commodity, And if you wanted to get out of the swap, if you wanted to break it, because I'm going to your point of breakup fee. If you break it, you're in the money, and that swap is worth money, and you can take that swap, and you can sell it on the open market. Okay?
We can
sell
our certificate.
You're the holder of the asset. You're the holder of the commodity. Okay. However, the other way around, if the rate goes down below 2.3, back to 1.55 or down to 1, then the swap is upside down. It's called out of the money. Okay? But that's only an issue when you're wanting to get out of it, if you want to get out of it. And like I said yesterday, rates for 7 years were at a historical low in terms of prime at 3.25. Right now, we're at 4.5 in prime, and that's basically, the downside rates going down, the probability of that is extremely, extremely low, especially because we're in a rising interest rate environment, and that's what the speculation is long term, and we see that according to the graph that we spent so much time on yesterday. So that's the kind of accounting economics, but that's only if you get out of the swap. If you do your due diligence and you make your decisions on the right amount of money to put into a interest rate hedge product at all up front, and that's the beauty of having knowledgeable people or using advisors to do that, the intention of when you set the duration of time that you're going to enter and how much money you're going to enter is that you're going to stay with the swap until the very end. Until just like you're staying with a loan in maturity, it's the same exact thing. So the fact that if the rates rise while you're in the swap, and if the rates go down and effectively you have to unwind it, you're out of the money, is a moot point if you stay to the duration, because at the very end it's a net zero. Does it make sense?
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. It's only an issue. You can actually make money on it if rates rise, if you get out before the end, and you only have to pay money if you get out before the end.
And whose decisions would those be?
Those would be decisions that we would present, and I know we were kind of hung up on the resolution language. I know you just amended the law a little bit ago with the prior conversation, but I think that to me, and the way that we've talked about it and the way our board approved it back in September, is we would probably put a comma here and say, as approved by the Osage Nation Gaming Enterprise Board. So, to me, all along, when we were hoping to have this conversation in September, and we just didn't get on the agenda, was the same steps I outlined a moment ago. Is credit agreements in place? We know that. Is the agreement? Our board has already given a resolution to proceed to with these agreements. Continue negotiating as well as approach Congress today. Is get a resolution that allows us to proceed and completing the negotiations of the ISDA agreements with the three banks, shop those banks, come up with options, and then take those options, kind of similar to the ones I presented yesterday, and say, okay, let's stand back and let's, in an educated fashion, determine all the variables and decide which swap we're going to go into or not. So that's basically everything except for one last point I think is really important. We talked yesterday in total dollars of debt, and I just was using round numbers, $147.5 million, $150 million. You're never going to swap that much. You're not going to, because you're always paying down the principal like we currently are on the ranch. And once the casino opens, we're going to be paying principal down on that too. So it's coming down. So we're going to go with a substantially lesser number than the total. Well, if you're doing that, let's just call it $50 million. If you're doing that, you already have a whole nother significant piece of debt there, all the way out until the end of maturity at least, that's going to be floating the way we are now with everything. So you're going to have the whole concept is like you're taking both worlds if you want to take, because right now we're floating 100%. Looking at these products and making a decision, and if we would go into that direction, you're always going to have a piece of floating that's kind of at risk anyway. The question is, do you want to risk all of our outstanding principal, or do you want to hedge a portion of it? And that's where you got to be smart about what you're going to do.
Thank you. I don't know how the committee wants to proceed now. Questions?
Julie?
I might make the comment that the board has reviewed this and is very supportive of this. And it's prudent, it's taking good care of our assets while we get good management of assets. So we really support this. It's hard to understand all the formulas and things that go behind it, but the principle of just working our money to its best is at stake here, so.
Yes, I've heard the presentation, everything. I'm not a banker. Of course, it sounds like a good deal. I'm a gambler myself. Sometimes I will gamble that it's not going to go sky high. That might be my gamble. But I would like, still like to hear what the executive, if they have a stance on this. There's Mr. Zahn's here. Could he come? Could...
Chair? Yeah. Yes, that she supports the board and the qualified professionals that they rely on to get this piece of legislation in front of you today. Thank you.
Did you say the chief supports this?
Yes. So he supports the board and the qualified professionals that they rely on to bring this to your attention this morning.
Yesterday he said he didn't have a position on this. Now, you're saying he supports the board.
Yes, sir, that's why.
He's not supporting the legislation.
He's supporting the board who relied on qualified professionals to put this together.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But he said he wouldn't take a position on this, didn't know anything about it. Nobody had talked to him. He didn't know anything about swaps, but he's saying he supports the board.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay, one more question. So who decides how much goes into this? Your number says 50, your examples, your PowerPoint says 50 million. Who gives a final decision on that?
Yeah, in my opinion, the legwork would be done between myself and the advisor. And then I would certainly be talking to Byron, which we've had numerous talks about this subject for over a year. And then we would probably start with let's say 15 potentials, and then we would narrow it down to probably 3 or 5. And then we would submit those to the board, answer their questions like we are today, and pose those out there, and then. If our board would make their decisions or get further input or whatever they decide, and then at that point in time, I would hope for their approval at that point in time, but if there's a different approach.
Anybody got any comments? Maria?
I just have a question since I'm glad you're with us, Ms. Malone, at the table today. I know from the beginning when we were discussing getting into debt for the purchase of Blue Stem Ranch and the casino expansion, and Mr. Steinke and Kimberly will both be able to tell you that I really want us to get out of debt as fast as we can. Now, I know that part of the presentation of this has been given in the light that one of the key components of making this decision is if we have other expansion projects that might need our attention, that it would help us extend our term that the portion we hedge in a longer way. I'm a proponent of trying to pay that debt off as fast as possible. So my question to you as a board member, and maybe it's unfair because you haven't been there very long, but what are your feelings on accruing more debt for other projects that we need to do? Or extending the life of this debt in order to build projects with cash flow? I mean, it's important to me that we don't just get into the habit, and I'm not saying that anybody wants to, of of stacking up debt for capital projects. I just think it's a bad practice to start.
I prefer black ink myself, but there are strategies in lengthening terms of debt sometimes that would be to an advantage, but as far as taking on additional debts, I don't think there's anything right now on the table, is there?
Yeah, no, there isn't at all. You know, our focus is to get Tulsa complete and you know, manage that accordingly. I think the normal analysis is if a project comes up. I mean, we've talked about several in our board meetings, and you've been, and some of you have been to those board meetings, and you know what they are. You have to put the pencil to each project individually to determine. You know, the goal is to take the money, the cash flow that we generate, and this is like for any other business, and get better returns on that through maybe a new project or an expansion or remodel, what have you. And, you know, call it ROI or payback period. You do that analysis, and you take the expertise and the experience that we have now gaming 13, 14 years at 7 properties. We've got a lot of experience right. that we can draft on and decide how we're going to make changes to projects going forward. So it's a case by case. There's no doubt about it. But you always... have in mind where you're at here in terms of the debt. And you know, I keep going back to the financial model.
Right.
That model's saying we're going to be about 115, right? I know we're not in executive session, but at maturity, okay? And I'm going to do everything I can to help the cause to make it lower than that number. And this is a step to do that because this is a cash flow issue.
There is a risk to remaining in the environment we are with a variable interest rate if the interest rates go up, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Our cost goes up.
Right.
So this is kind of a hedge for preventing that kind of volatility.
Although the LIBOR curve that we're looking at is
modest.
Gentle.
It's modest.
Gentle.
It is.
So, yeah.
No, okay. You're absolutely right. It's just that we don't know beyond today what's going to happen.
Okay.
Well, Julie, I want to ask you a question, and if you don't feel comfortable answering it or anything, I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but the way that I'm looking at this, and I can't say I'm speaking for the whole committee, but just my own opinion is that my understanding is we're hedging only about a third of the money and only that portion of the interest that pertains to LIBOR. Yet, in order to hedge that small percent of the total loan, we're going to pay a large premium. That premium, I don't know if I could say this, but it's a lot of money. It's, you know, $500,000, a lot more. The way I look at this is that the board is thinking that it's worth that premium to bet against the hedge, the people that are hedging this, that they are experts and they have their money at risk. But for us to pay this premium, we're betting that they don't know what they're doing and that interest rates are going to go a lot higher than what they think they are, and we're going to risk this large amount of money. Has the board considered that? Is that the approach that you took, or you think it's worth the risk that they might be wrong in what they're thinking?
First off, I can't speak for the whole board, and I have attended 2 meetings now. 2?
3 maybe.
Maybe 3. And I do rely on, we have a top-notch team of experts. He has a whole office full of financial wizards, and they've been in the business a long, long time, and relationships with banks, and I would Can you answer his question on that?
Basically, what we're hedging against, going back to the curve, and I agree right now today, as Maria pointed out, it's modest. But that those points on that curve are all a function from the commodities futures markets. We're not arguing against the bank. We're not saying that the bank or the people we're buying these products from are wrong. What that graph has been charted on is all the futures markets across all industries and that from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. That's what those points are about how people are buying futures today out 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. That's what that curve is established upon. It's not about us going head-to-head with Bank of Oklahoma or anybody else and saying they're wrong and we're going to be right, we're going to be smarter than them. That's not the instance here. It's about the futures market. So, and I understand the premium is established. That you cited a third, roughly a third. The premium is pro rata. The more that you put into a hedge, then the premium goes up pro rata. If you cut it from a third down to a sixth, then the premium drops by half. You know, it's all those numbers do align, depending on what you want to put in. We're obviously not going to put in a big number towards $150 million because we're going to be paying the principal down, and that's just something you don't do. So with that being said, I go back to my other point. You're always going to have a portion of this that is going to float and is going to hopefully follow in line with the curve. So you're going to be playing with both portions always, even if you do a swap.
But the only reason that they would enter into a swap with us is if their interest rates don't go up and they will make money. They're only in it to make money. They wouldn't enter into a swap with us.
Well, they get the benefit of the present value. When they book that piece at present value when we enter into the agreement with them, okay? And obviously they're there to make money, but they can't predict that curve either. They're in the market to go right along with it just like we are. It's no different than fixing a rate at this point in time on a mortgage. You know, a lot of us around the table have a mortgage, let's say, and we may be at 3.5 or 4. But what if rates rise to 5? We're benefiting, okay? And then the banks have to adjust their portfolios and charge people higher. So it's all market driven.
But it just appears to me that the only way that it would be worth it to us to pay a premium is if they are wrong and interest go a lot higher than they think they will.
Well, it has to go higher, just like we showed yesterday, because on the graph, the one number we were looking at maturity was 2.40, okay? I use an example, and it could have been too much, it could be too little. I used 4% at maturity. Those are the two comparisons when we're looking at the two columns. And that's an educated guess, it's an example. No one knows where it's gonna be, and the bank doesn't know where it's gonna be either. Everybody, the whole industry, that curve I showed you, that's what everybody looks at. Every trader, all derivatives people from the banks that are big enough, if you will, to provide those products to the marketplace, everybody goes off of that curve and it changes potentially daily.
So, like I say again, I repeat, I am not a banker or a big financier, but is it possible that other banks can buy a loan such as this, what we have? That happens a lot, right? Now, if we're in this agreement and some other bank from San Francisco, New York,
commercial loans like this don't get traded like somebody will originate a mortgage for you and they'll sell it off somebody. It doesn't happen like that. The only time, and that's the beauty of a syndication because it's generally more than, it has to be more than one bank, right? The only way that a new bank would come in to our loan would be via acquisition, or if a bank would go belly up and go FDIC, right? So that's the only way that, it would happen.
Okay, thank you.
Anybody else got any comments? I'd like to say, like the chief, I support the board too. But I don't know if I support this small. My head's that way.
Well, after yesterday's discussion, I got the distinct impression that there was a level of, that this table and the rest of Congress members hadn't reached a level of comfort with this. As I said when I opened, I support managing our interest rate risk, but the questions that were brought, I believe that this resolution covers that the Osage Nation Gaming Enterprise Board, that's who it's authorizing to enter into this agreement. Of course, it does not have language about who makes the final decision in this resolution. We could work on that and change that. If I talked with people on the way home last night and let them know that, you know, this might be due for withdrawal and brought back in the spring. I know that's going to set you guys back some, but I think everybody needs to be comfortable with what we're doing and maybe have more discussion on how the language of this needs to go. So as a sponsor, I'm willing to listen to the committee, and I don't want this to be a crash and burn piece of legislation, because I do believe that we don't need to end it on that note, and I would rather withdraw than it get voted down, and then we can have possibly interim meetings and discuss what we need to do to have a better level of comfort with this. I think, of course, nobody knows what the future holds, and we don't even know if we have tomorrow, but I think that we're in a good environment right now with our variable rate, that we're not in harm's way at this point.
Today,
that's what I said, we don't know what our future is gonna be. So I wanna put that out on the table to the committee, and just get your feedback, and so we can either move forward with working on some language on this that would, you know, I don't wanna sit here and try to work on language and you guys still aren't gonna be comfortable with it. And spend the rest of the day doing that. So I'd like to hear from the committee what they want to do. Or if they're okay with it like it is.
I'm going everybody.
No one else wants to. I will say it. I would feel comfortable on maybe postponing this for a little while to hear what some of the other congressmen. See, myself, I will tell you, I just heard about this like 3 days ago. So I'm like on Google, I'm looking at night trying to find out what all this means.
I understand that.
What LIPOR means, it's London International something, and I was reading up on that. I have some people that are in banking I haven't had a chance to consult with, a relative who's been in international banking in New York City. I haven't had a chance to call him, but I think it could be a good thing, and I respect all your work and your judgment in this outfit from San Francisco. I respect that. But to be comfortable with this, I think I would like a little more time on it. That's my opinion.
Anybody else have any Congressman Hamilton?
I appreciate Tim's presentation yesterday. There was a lot of stuff to think about last night. I am leaning towards supporting this, but I don't want to see it get voted down right now either. I know there's other congressmen who we were talking about it this morning. I don't know where they stand on it. So if we could work on it and come back to it, I would agree with that.
If I may, I would definitely refile, work on the language, have some discussions with what's bothering people about it. The whole concept may just bother some people. I don't know.
Or even not understanding the product itself.
But and time can help you with understanding if that's the direction you're going.
It's tricky though.
So that being said, I will, because I do support it, and I will bring it back in the spring, which will be the last weekend of March, for refiling. If we decide to withdraw it and not consider at this session.
Yeah, keep in mind that the Gaming Enterprise Board has been tasked by the nation to run the business to the best of our ability. And in so doing, we've hired amazing people. Yesterday we received our audit. It was unqualified. And I mean, the auditors even clapped. It was outstanding. In all areas of our gaming enterprise, financially especially. You'll receive that in terms of an annual report. Kimberly's gonna get that to you within the next, 60 days or so? So keep in mind that he is a jewel. We're glad to have him. And he's vetted this and feels that it's appropriate for our finances. So if we don't understand all aspects of it, maybe we don't need to, but if we need... we have a risk if the interest rates rise, we definitely will be paying more, which will be detrimental to our gaming enterprise business. So, you know, either way, there's a risk involved. So I just want, the board supports him and this product. So think about it.
Can I make one quick, timing one?
Yeah.
Just as something to think about, according to this site that I just went to, I just Googled, if you will, the Federal Reserve, when they meet again, like they meet here in January, but 31st, they meet again, the 20th, 21st of March, so right before, you said the meeting, this next session, regular session, is the last week of March. So, you know, it doesn't, you know, obviously things can change tomorrow. It doesn't matter when their meetings are scheduled, but it looks like they might be meeting twice before your next meeting. I'm just throwing that out there. Even though the curve is modest. But I'm personally, I'm passionate about helping you guys do the thing that's right. It's not that I have a huge passion to jump into a swap. Because it's more work for me after we get into it. And it's more work. It will be footnoted in our financials. It's more work for our auditors. It's more work to focus on. It will be educational for some of the accounting staff that work on our side at Osage Casino. So it'd be something new to them. But that's that benefit. However, I just, at least at this point, no matter what you decide to do, that we breach the discussion. And at least you're aware that this is out there. And no one's blinded by the fact that, oh, wow, since June of 2016, when we closed on the loan, we've been at floating rates, okay? You know, that was my job to bring this to the forefront and to cite this, to create awareness and to cite this as an option. But I think it is a very prudent thing to do, no matter what you decide. As long as we use our heads and decide on the variables that are right if we go forward.
Julie, I want to admit, you weren't on the board in June of 16, I don't believe.
No, I wasn't. I've only been to three monthly meetings. So.
I want to tell you this so you at least have this little background. But the board that you're on didn't have much input into this financing. Most of this was done by the chief. And they locked in to a floating rate right at the time interest rates started rising. They had been flat for years, and then when they started rising, then that's when we did this loan, and we got a accepted a floating rate. That's the dilemma that you've been handed as to what to do. I feel sorry for you, but you know, I know you'll do the best
we'll
you can
do. We'll do the best we can with
and,
it, for sure.
As will the Congress.
Yeah.
So, and also I want to tell you that Mr. Stanky presented the swap to the Congress in a very professional manner. He didn't try to influence us one way or the other. He just gave us facts and let us make our own mistakes, whatever, you know. So I do appreciate that. And, I don't know, anybody else in the committee have any comments? Joe, you got anything?
Yeah, and thank you, Mr. Chair. I've sat here and have been very open. And I, like Congressman Maker said, I didn't know a lot about swaps and LIBOR and all of these things that that go on in this world, this economic world that we're dealing with. And it's so many factors into this that play a part of this. And I've been very pleased with what I've heard, but for me to make a decision today would be a little difficult because I've only been talking this language, listening to it for 3 or 4 days. You know, but as we continue and as we go on, according to the market expectations and the reset rates that we're looking at now, if we wait another 2 months, according to the graphs that we have, we're at 1.5 and 1.55, and it by, you know, the fourth month of the year, it'd be at 1.66.
Right.
But those trends are, again, you know, maybe by that time we can look and say, hey yeah, it's moving the way they said it was. But I want to thank you for the presentation that you've given us, and it does give you something to think about. But if I don't know a lot about it, and a lot of us here don't know about it, our constituents don't know a lot about it, I still think we're still in a learning curve, but it makes sense. It does. But to go ahead and pull that trigger right now, I think it's going to be a little difficult for us to do, but still yet, I've been very pleased with the information that you've given us. But we knew this going in 2016. We're at a floating rate. Yeah, if those interest rates go up, it's also.
And that's the way standard credit agreements, gaming hospitality credit agreements, are structured. That is,
right.
And that was some of my responses in the last several business days to Maria via email. What this product that we have is a very customary, and it's a very inexpensive in terms of the bank spread. Talked to Kimberly about this on the way up here. I mean, there were banks that we invited to be part of the syndication that said no because they couldn't make any money. It was a very, very, very attractive loan from the borrower's side. So that's a good thing, even though it's been floating since June, since we closed. But that is very normal until someone does what I'm putting out on the table that you need to consider. It's the only way to do it.
You had mentioned Derivative Logic, the company, and they're in San Francisco.
Yes.
Who's your contact?
His name's Rex Evans. I supply that to Maria, and he's got a partner. He's, you know, he's been a banker. He worked, I met him when he was with Bank of America.
Okay.
Quite frankly.
Is he on their board or is he on their?
No, Rex Evans, he's the principal. He's one of the founders of Derivative Logic.
Okay.
Yeah. And I will tell you, he came to our meeting. I know you weren't, Maria was, and I believe, Angela was there as well. Interesting guy, got a lot of numbers going through his head, right? But more than me. He's open to come back and visit us, whatever we need. He's not a high-pressure sales guy. He's got a good book of business right now because what he does is in high demand, and he doesn't have hardly any competition.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Seriously.
Anybody else ready got anything to say? At this time, the chair would entertain a motion, which I understand. Well, I don't entertain any motion. Understand is that it would be a motion to pass to the Congress of a no recommendation with the intent to withdraw.
And since I'm the sponsor of the legislation, I guess I'd like to hear if that's what's, is that the level of comfort? I think I heard from Mr. Tillman. I heard you could go either way. You, would you like a withdrawal on it so we could have a little bit more time? And maybe Mr.
Evans
could either come to an interim meeting if the committee felt like that that was necessary.
I can restate my opinion. Yes, I would like a little more time and maybe hear from the gentleman from San Francisco. Or, like I said, like I just heard about this 3 days ago. So I try to research on my own. I'm not a banker. A few of us here are. But I would feel more comfortable if I had a little more time. And the rest of the Congress has more time for some feedback. And I don't think, March, that's two and a half months from now, I don't think it's going to be cause an earthquake if we waited that long.
Are you predicting the market?
Thank you. I see what this says.
Mr. Stankey, what's the time? Well, no, time is money. We said yes to this today and everything was perfect. When would it actually go into effect? How much time does it take for you to...
Probably 30 days or less.
30 days or less. Okay.
You know, I think the real, you know, the real benefit would be to move forward and get the ISDA, you know, allow us to go forward and finalize the ISDA negotiations. Like I said yesterday, those agreements, you know, and there's three banks, they can sit there, one, two, three, and they can even be executed. Doesn't mean you're going into a product. You're just poised, you're ready, you're watching the market, just like people watch this, day traders watch the stock market. You've got these ready to go from each of those three main banks that I mentioned. And you're in, because you're postured, you're ready if you need to. And of course, once again, we may stand still. So I think that would be the one thing. I think, I mean, I don't know the protocols of how you guys operate as well as you do. I'm learning, but I think that would be the one thing. I'm not a board member either. But if I was a board member, that's what I would be looking for, is let's grant them the ability to go into and execute these ISDAs, knowing that there's a whole nother set of, there's another approval and there's a whole nother set of paperwork that goes with that before you enter into a derivative product. I think that's the thing that helps save time if you think that you need to. If you unanimously agree, I guess that you want to wait and go about it differently. But I think that'd be the thing I think we're missing out over the next 2.5 months. If we wait, would be that step.
Well, if this does have to get visited in March session, and if we can work on it in the interim, as soon as, you know, if we reach our level of comfort in interim committee meetings, then as soon as it gets to the floor of Congress, which if we let it go through its regular process, takes about 3 days or 4 days, Shanna, once it hits the floor, what's its normal process to get passed? 3 days, 4 days, 4 days? If there's no amendments?
Fast track.
4 days? 4 days. It would take, just going through its regular process, not fast tracking, would take 4 days. Once it got out of committee, as soon as the chief signs a resolution, it's enacted and you get to go. So if we do that work to bring comfort level up in between, I see it being able to go maybe the last week of March.
How can we help with your comfort levels? Is it education?
Well, one thing that I did hear is that once the waiver is approved, that what product, what amount, Congress doesn't know that. We're authorizing a blind agreement right now. When we authorize a credit facility, we know positively what that is. So I think that's one issue. Am I right, guys? Is that one issue with you guys that you don't really know? It's the unknown. We're authorizing a blanket agreement that takes a lot of trust. And so I was going to explore if there was any more layers to put in there. Personally, I really don't see them right now, but maybe somebody else that's smarter than me sees them. So there's a stop gap for once you go to execute, what's it called, the certificate or, right, or make the agreement, how much, what we're going to do, what it looks like. I think that's the whole.
So it's kind of an education for them. Because we'll never fully understand, I don't think, how that all.
Right.
It was really complex when I tried to research the product.
I think really what it is the fact that we're authorizing something, the amount is unknown.
Okay.
The amount, the duration of time.
Okay.
And we're authorizing it blind, and I think that's am I speaking
like a blank check?
That was one of my points earlier.
Right.
Who makes that decision?
Right. So I don't know if there's any expiration or if there's anything else that can be done on that, but I think that's the number one issue with some of the membership here is that this we're going to authorize you guys to go to three banks and make a deal, and nobody knows what deal that is we're authorizing. We don't know what product, we don't know what the dollar amount is, we don't know those things. When we authorize a limited waiver of sovereign immunity to get into a credit facility, those are known facts. It's going to stop here, we know what the terms are, and this is an unknown. And I think that's the deal. So I don't know what we can explore or work out, or we do it right now.
Yeah, all I was saying is because the waiver is contained in the agreement.
Right.
And just you execute the ISDA agreement signed by, I presume, Byron and the chief. It's kind of borrower, co-borrower, as we talked about yesterday. But those sit there.
Right.
And there's no trading. There's nothing that's going on now.
Right.
We're still floating until you go. And now you look at the market. Now you do your negotiations. You've got these three banks engaged. They're competing against each other, which is a great thing. And then it's when you assess those products, whether it's a field of 15 that you narrow to 5. That's the point in time when the known would be known for everyone. And that's the part that we've said all along. We're not going to enter into any of those until our board would approve. If it needs to go another way, then that's beyond my pay grade, I guess.
And I believe you, but I don't believe there's any language in the resolution that states
I don't think, the reading.
That's the secondary. And I don't know if that's what it would take for the... I don't know.
Okay.
Well, that's what I was kind of trying to throw out there is, I'm not saying we're going to waste time, but in order to take the next step, which still doesn't get us into a product, is there a way we can change that resolution to make it say upon something, you can, because I know the sensitivity of the waiver of sovereign immunity that was given to the credit agreement. Can you give it to the ISDAs? Execute those three with the banks, have them ready to go, have them negotiating, because we haven't even done that because we don't have the ISDAs ready. And then before anything happens, all during that time, everybody's kind of learning more about it, making their phone calls, potentially a presentation by Mr. Evans or whatever it takes. Before you go into something formal, is that something that we can make that happen here in that agreement? I don't know.
And
the resolution.
And that's what hasn't been explored, but I think is what Congress is looking for. I do. And I don't have the language right now to make that fix. And I don't even really know if Congress members want me to do that right now. I just, I know I've been getting some...
I could say one more thing. Another thing that goes with any kind of decision like this, like when we did the big loan, for the ranch and the expansion, which we were going to do the expansion anyway. And then the ranch came along.
Right.
Okay. We already knew kind of what kind of loan we were going to get then. We were with Mr. Lamb, with David Lamb. He was
correct.
Coming up here, coming up 4 or 5 times, explained it all to us. I never myself seen the whole loan. I know it's like 7 cents, 2 or 3 inches thick. And we did the waiver, which we knew to get the loan, we had to do that, and we did. But any time we are asked to give a waiver of our sovereignty, it's a big deal.
Sure.
It's not a small thing. When you look at all the history of all the Indian nations, Native American tribes, it's a very precious thing that we have. and we're entrusted with, but the Osage people, constituents. And when they hear that, I guarantee you someone on the streets, they don't like it. But we know that to conduct business, sometimes we have to do that.
It protects us from lawsuits a lot of times that with outside companies.
And it also protects that person lending the money.
So.
That's my comment.
Thank you. So we have a motion. And this. All right, I'll make a motion that we pass ONCR 1801 to the Congress with no recommendation.
Second for discussion. With earlier you said with intent to withdraw, is that still on? Is that still on or?
Well, yeah, but
we can't.
I don't know if I do. We need to make that part of the motion with intent to withdraw.
I would, but you need to entertain that. Your chair.
What?
You're the chair, so you need to entertain that motion.
She's not going to, you can't make the motion. You need to entertain the motion and let somebody move it.
I don't know in small boards if that's necessary.
That's what they've done. I can find out and just make sure, but that's okay. What I understand.
Yeah, I know, but in Robert's rules, small board rules, you don't have to
You thought
that.
I was going to withdraw, is that what you said?
Entertain
if that's If that's what Congress wants me to do, I'd rather withdraw than the bill fail.
That's what I'm
Okay, and I think that
about.
I've heard from you and Joe that they need some more time. I'm willing to do more time, and so I will withdraw instead of failing it. That's what I'll do. I don't know how Congressman Mason feels about it, if he needs more time. And I don't want to put you on the spot to make your answer because your vote's your vote. So, but I will withdraw if we want more time to work on this legislation. If you...
I'm appreciative of your statement.
Okay, thank you. So I will second, I'll make a motion to pass this out to Congress with no recommendation. I need a second.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to pass the Congress with no recommendation. All in favor say yes.
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 Yes. Yes. Any opposed?
We've been going around the tree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we've concluded our business, I guess. And kind of motion to adjourn the committee meeting.
Pardon me.
So moved.
Long meeting.
Second.
Basically, we say the same thing over and over again, but we've learned a lot.
I'm not
from
on
Mr.
the
committee.
I'm just here.
It's progress.
I'm just
here. Some progress. It may not seem.
And so there's layers, you know.